For those of you who don't know, Rob Knight is going with Kip and our evangelist, Larry Bingman, to Thailand at the end of this month. The 22nd of this month. He has sent some letters out for support, both in prayer and in finances. And if any of you would like to help, please just fill out one of the envelopes that's back in Tom. Put his name on there, Rob, and any little bit would help. He's a young man. He's a godly man, and God is just raising him up right now. And I know I like to partner with what God's doing. So if you'd like to just go ahead. Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I know, huh?
Just adjust the lights.
Yeah. Anybody want to do some work? We got paintbrushes. And no, I just asked them to bring that. I'm going to be kind of brief because I'd like the worship team. Aren't they wonderful? I just love. There's another young man, Russell. Russell is such a godly man as well. He's one of our interns, and he leads praise and worship truly from his heart. So he knows Jesus, and I'd like them to come up afterwards. And we're going to sing maybe one of the songs that they sang earlier, but we're going to sing it with a different perspective, I'm hoping. So let's just pray. Father, we love you. We bless you, Father. You've given us Isaiah 35, Lord, to meditate on for quite some time, Lord, and yet it seems like daily you're giving new revelation about it. So, Lord, would you give us a new revelation right now about what you're saying to us about this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to just read it, even though we've read it a million times. If you're like me, you've just been reading it over and over every day, asking the Lord to speak to you about it, because this is the scripture that he gave us. So this is what he wants to say to us. And it's like always, it's like, have you ever written a letter? Like sometimes when I was younger, I used to be kind of goofier than I am now. And I used to write boys little love letters. And I would want them to be able to read in between the lines and know my heart, even though I wasn't putting it on there. And later you find out, why don't you just say what you mean? So in this, I keep asking the Lord, just say what you mean, Lord. Say what you mean to me, because I'm not as that kind of intelligent as you are, of course. But Just tell me. And he started speaking to me, and I just like to share with what he gave me. So the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Notice, we're not talking about the highway of holiness yet. We're talking about the desert. And yet, there's roses in it, and they're blossoming, and they are rejoicing. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. Again, we're still in the barren wilderness. We're not on the highway yet. Yet, we are rejoicing, we have abundance, we are full of joy, and we're singing. How can that be? The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. And if you search out those words, Lebanon, Carmel, and Sharon, they are the mountains, they are the hills, and they are the valleys. So wherever you are, whether you are facing a huge mountain, if you get tired because your road is constantly filled with hills, or if you are in a valley of nothingness, the Lord is there. And he says, you will see the glory of the Lord in those places, the excellency of our God. It says, strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. That's a command in these places. Be strong, do not fear. How can I do that? In the face of some of our situations, how can we do it? Whether it's prosperity or the lack of it, the lack of good health, the lack of relationship, whatever it is, how can we not be afraid and be and do not fear? It almost seems like an impossibility. And then he goes on, behold, in other words, look, let it be revealed to you. Your God will come with vengeance. Where will he come with vengeance? We haven't gotten to the road yet of holiness. We're still in the desert. Your God will come with vengeance. Does that mean he's going to get you out of the desert? Well, let's not be so quick to get out of the desert. Let's hold on and say, if God's coming to the desert, why do I want out? If this is where he's going to come, I want to stay right where I am, even though our natural man does not. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. There's a promise for us right there. Where we have stopped believing, where we have stopped hoping, where we have stopped anticipating the presence of God and the provision of God, here is our promise to us. Stay right where you are. Don't move. Don't budge. I'm coming, and I will come and save you. Now, just as Jesus came for salvation, he did not come to pluck us out of the world, but he came that we would have life. And he wants to give us life in the desert as well. He doesn't want to pluck us out because the desert is the natural, and he doesn't operate by that. He operates in a whole different system. And he's inviting us, come up here. Come change your perspective that I would give you life in the middle of the desert. This is our promise. It says, then the eyes of the blind will be opened. Still in the desert, still in the wasteland, my eyes will be opened. And my ears that have been deaf shall be unstopped. Meaning that if I am in the desert and wrangling to get out and just in fear and in trepidation, that means I've got stoppers in my ears and blinders on my eyes. And he is coming to undo and undo our eyes and our ears that we would be able to see and hear. Then in the desert, where you have weak knees, where you have feeble knees and weak hands, the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing, for the waters will burst forth in the wilderness, not in the highway, in the wilderness, and the streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals or dragons, there where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Again, in the wilderness. But even the wilderness will start bowing to the lordship of Jesus who comes to save. Now, verse 8, we finally get to the highway, a whole different perspective. A highway shall be there and a road. Now, I'd like to call your attention to this ladder for a minute. I read this a whole bunch of times, and probably like most of us, I thought highways go horizontally. At least they do in the freeway, on the streets. Our cars don't go up. They go horizontal, right? They go this way. And so my perspective was the highway of holiness is a horizontal one, and he's going to pluck us up out of the wilderness and place us on this beautiful highway, and nothing can touch me on it. And then I can be fearless and happy and have all my stuff, because that's where all the gold of heaven is. I don't mean monetary gold. I mean the gold of glory is on this highway. The Lord started showing me, he says, your idea of a highway is different than mine. And I said, show me, Lord. And he took me to a ladder. He says, in most ladders, you can only use one side of it. See how that one doesn't have rungs on that side? This one does. He says, down here is the natural, the temporal. He says, this is where you get born again, right here. This is where born again comes. He says, your journey is to go here, because that's where the eternal realm is. So you have the monetary, the temporal realm here. I just got saved. This is my beginning point. And up there is my place where I want to be. Notice that ladder is in the same place. That is no different than down here. It's still up on the platform, right? There's no change in it. It's all in perspective, and it's all in where you are operating from. So I'm going to go back. But it shall be for those, whoever walks the road, although a fool, meaning I don't have all my ducks in a row, shall not go astray. Why? Because as long as I'm on this highway, I'm still in the wilderness. Nothing here has changed. yet I'm going the way of the Lord. Remember when Jesus said, those who pick up their cross and follow me. We're going to get back to the cross in a minute. It says, no lion will be there. A lion cannot go up into the eternal realm. That's in the natural realm. That's in the temporal realm. No lion can go up on that thing. So when you are on this road in the wilderness, remember the road is still in the wilderness, nothing can touch you. And you say, well, how can that be since I am going for God and yet the bill collectors are coming, I'm still getting bad reports with medical reports or whatever it is. My children are still acting up. How can that be? Let's think about that for a minute. I'm going to come back to that. It shall not be there, but the redeemed shall walk there. How many of you in here are redeemed? How many of you have been born again? Is there anyone who hasn't? Because you should. Okay, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. We will return to our inheritance and sit with Jesus in heavenly places. This is what Jesus came. I'm not talking about heaven, and I'm not talking about when we die. I'm talking about on earth as it is in heaven. I'm talking right now. Our heritage is to sit with Jesus in heavenly places, in the wilderness, on the road. In the wilderness, on the road. The road is in the wilderness. It's not in some supernatural place. It's right here. So we will, with Jesus, rule and reign with him in the end time. And the temporal realm will be abolished forever. And the eternal throne will be the only thing left. Right now, we've got two realms. Right now, we have the eternal and we have the temporal. So the highest place, the eternal, the bottom, the temporal realm. The eternal realm is not only the third heaven. I remember when that term, we started using that term, and people would talk about, oh yeah, we mean the heavenly realm. It's the same as the eternal realm. And the Lord told me later, he says, no, it's not. He says, the heavenly realm is the eternal realm, but you also have an eternal realm down here that's not up in heaven. The eternal realm for me, is where am I operating from? Am I operating from a mindset and a faith and a belief that comes from what I see or feel, my emotions, my thoughts? Or am I operating from a place that I've entered into where it's the spiritual realm that I'm coming from? I have climbed the ladder and I'm looking from up there. I haven't left this earth. I'm still alive, but yet I'm operating, ruling and reigning up there, right here, in the wilderness. I haven't come out of the wilderness. I'm just in a different place in the wilderness, inside, because it's not what's happening on the outside. I can have a horrible report about something and yet be full of peace and full of joy. I'm living in that right now experientially, where something has come and it's really negative, but it's not touching me. And that's what got me thinking, Lord, what is this? I'm not doing anything to have this not touch me on the inside. No worry, no fear, no dread, no anything. And the Lord says, I've given you to show you what's the difference between living from a mindset of the eternal realm or a mindset of the temporal realm. And he says, your temporal has been wiped away in this area. And I'm showing you what peace and joy and laughter and singing and dancing there is in the midst of wilderness when you come up to a higher place. And a lot of times, and this is what I'm finding to be true anyway, a lot of times it's not what we do. It's not that I pray or read the Bible or worship or do any of those things more. Those things are wonderful, and they're my connector points with the Lord always. But there's a different place when the Lord steps in, and it's all by grace, when he just says, here, I just want to show you, I just want to give you, I want to bring you, I want to pluck you out and put you down up here so you can experience it, so that when you're not up there, you will hunger and thirst for up there. You'll say, I can't live here anymore. I've got to be up there. because there's such joy up there in the midst of it. Your prayers start turning from, I got to get out of my mess. I need my children to behave. I need my finances to be paid. I need my health to be wonderful. I need everything to be okay for me to sing and dance and rejoice. And the Lord is saying, you will get to a place where you don't even, aren't even conscious of those things happening or not happening. It'll be a place where you're saying, gosh, Lord, this is so great. I love this peace. I love this supernatural peace. And your focus is on, I've got such peace. The King, the Prince of Peace is in me. He's dwelling in me. You soon forget about those things, and you're concentrating on him. The scriptures start coming alive, like different than they used to be. And it's not that I'm there in every situation. I'm really not, but in one I am, because he's given me a place where he's saying, this is what I want you to long for. This is what's available to you in every situation. Come, follow me. You know, let's talk for a minute about the cross. You know, the cross, if you think of it, when Jesus came, he left the heavenly place and came into the temporal place on earth, right? That was Jesus of Nazareth. He was born in a manger. He came down here, but he still didn't operate on the inside by this. In other words, this never owned him. His thoughts were higher than our thoughts even then. Jesus' temporal realm destiny. Do you know that he had a temporal destiny and an eternal destiny? He's in his eternal destiny right now. But for a moment in eternity, he had a temporal destiny, and that was the cross. That was the cross. He not only didn't run from his earthly destiny, his temporal destiny, he ran to it. Nobody took his life, he gave it. He was able to be beaten and scourged and even be separated from the Father by choice. Even though he struggled in his soul, he made the right choice. Not my will, but yours. He got up from Gethsemane and said, okay, let's go. We marvel and say, how could he do that? How could the King of Glory lay down his crown and lay down the connection between Father and still keep going and not sin? The Bible says he never sinned. It's because he entered into a different perspective. He was living from up there rather than here. This is, I just got saved. This is salvation. This is beautiful. This is our, come on now, I give you access to the highway. Before, we don't have access to it. But all of a sudden, because the Lord has called us from the beginning of time, we all think it was our choice, but God predestined us, and he knew us. Even before earth, he knew us. And when Jesus went to that cross, when he fulfilled his temporal realm destiny of the cross, we were inside of him, and we went with him to this cross. So if you ever think, I have no courage, I have no strength, I would fail every time, think of this. You were on that cross. You were carried by Jesus Christ onto that cross, and every sin and every earthly realm thing has already hung on the cross. You are a powerhouse of faith. You are a powerhouse of joy and peace. And he dwells within you now. He dwelled within you at the beginning, even before time was. And he will dwell in you up in heaven as well. At the end. It's already done. This is what we, as born-again Christians, have access to. If we would just get trying to make something like a highway of holiness, like a scripture, like anything of the Lord, if we would stop trying to make it fit how we think in our temporal thinking and say, your ways are higher than ours, but you're in me. So how can I say I can't have access to know your ways? You teach your sons your ways. I'm your son. Teach me your ways. And he said, you can't get it down here. This was your access. Down here, this first rung, or even before the first rung, this was your access. Am I going off the camera? Is people looking at nothing? Okay. Because I don't want to be talking and say, look at this, and then they can't. Okay. We love you on there, so we just want to make sure you can see. If I'm done here, it means I just got saved, or I am not growing one bit. I will not listen to God. I won't listen to my pastor. I won't listen to sermons. I will fall asleep in the front row. And I will raise my hands like this, but I'm really not worshiping. I have just said no to God. But good news, even if that's you, even if that's you, he will come and rattle your cage. He will come and say, you're mine. I'm jealous for you. I will get your foot. Even if you can't lift it, I will get your foot like this, and I'll put it up on there. And I will get your behind and start pushing you up. And you may not like it, but you're mine, and you're my child, and you're my bride, and I'm jealous for you, and I want you, and I'm going to get you to a higher perspective to see things differently than what you're looking at right now and the way you're looking at it. Some of these songs we sing, you really listen to the words. I like songs that sing to God rather than about myself, but I can sing the songs the same rather than he is so good. I said, you are so good. And I can come from a place of actually seeing him, his goodness. I'm tasting of your goodness right now. You have given me peace in this area. I remember having joy, Lord God, a few seconds ago. Everybody's singing happy birthday to me, and I had joy. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. In the midst of the wilderness, in the midst of nothing in the natural changing, nothing from a perspective of somebody else looking like it's getting any better. See, you may see me in the natural and say, oh, well, you know, she's this or that or whatever, and judge according to the natural. But God's saying, foolishness. That's the foolishness he's talking about. He says, get up higher. Get up higher. When you're up here, you'll look at everybody differently. You'll see them the way he sees them. You'll know them by the spirit rather than the flesh. Down here, all I can know is by the flesh, because that's all I'm looking at. But up there, I can know by the spirit. I can say, oh my gosh, this person has a crown. This person gives the Lord such joy. This one makes him laugh. This one makes him just want to hold them. He is so in love with them. And your whole perspective changes. The stuff that you face is still happening, but you stopped noticing it. When you stop noticing something, you're stopped being governed by it. It will not control you anymore. It will not govern the way you think, the way you act, the way you respond. Some people say, well, when you're going through something, never mind, leave her alone. She's going through some hard times. That's why she's so mean and horrible and all of that. No, she's just going through down here rather than up here. So as intercessors, we need to pray. God, come on, push her by the behind up there. Get her up there so that she can have peace in the midst of it. Sure, we pay that the natural change, of course, but that's not where our focus is. Our focus is there's something higher and better than her situation changing, because I guarantee you as soon as that changes, there'll be another one waiting at the next turn. It's not about this stuff. This stuff comes and goes. It's not a huge thing. It's not a deal breaker for our salvation. This highway is up here. Get up to where God is. What? I gotta lift this higher? That's right. Ooh, gosh. Hello. Oh, I like that. Okay, so our destiny is pretty much the same as Jesus' destiny. We said his temporal destiny was the cross, so is ours. He commands us, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Pick up your cross, just like him. Let it go. Let it go. Let the temporal go. Look up from where your help comes from. It's all throughout the Bible. If you just look at the Bible, you say, oh my gosh, there are two different realms helping at the same exact time. The one down here that we see and feel and understand and taste, and the one up there. Now, I have been bought with a price to sit up there right now on earth as it is in heaven, not after I die, right now. I have been bought and I have been charged. Come up higher and rule and reign with me up here. And do not be governed or controlled by what you see or feel down here. That's minor. That's nothing. That's fleeing. That's passing away. That thing will disintegrate. That's just a vapor. But come up here. These things are eternal and will never go away. The wilderness and the desert is just as much a power place as the higher road of holiness. Have you thought of that? There is just as much God power down here as there is up there. Down here, this road that we're on, the when we are in the wilderness desert, the power of God, the resurrection power of his glory will catapult us in our thinking, in our perception, in the things that we understand up there. This is where we have the victory. So if you're looking for, if only Pastor would notice me, if only he would give me a platform to say whatever it is that God has said to me, if only, how come I'm not being called up when this one's being called up and what I have is so much more? Blah, that's all minutia and it's all down here and it's going away. That's not the place of power. There's no power that's needed in that. The place of power is needed, just like Jesus needed the power of Holy Spirit and the power that was with him in Gethsemane and on the Via Dolorosa and on the cross. He needed a power from heaven to infiltrate who he was, his humanity, so that he could do it and do it right. The Bible says he did not sin. To be in doubt and unbelief and fear and all of that is missing the mark. The mark is up here, to live in a higher place. It's not perfection down here. It has nothing to do with down here. It's a higher place. That's our mark. Are we missing the mark by being comfortable down here and living down here, complaining and wishing and murmuring and complaining and thinking if only down here and calling our dreams of, I have a dream, I want to do this and be that and all of that. Those aren't the dreams from God. Those are the down here dreams. The dreams from God are, come up higher. I have called you to be my queen or my king. I have called you to sit with me in heavenly places. I have called you to be a woman or a man of wisdom and strength and understanding. I have called you to be seated in Christ in heavenly places. I have called you to rule and reign right now. I have called you to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I have called you to speak the gospel and things open up all over and it changes the realm down here. I have called you to be a woman or a man of great understanding and power, and I have called you to go out and save the world through me and bring what I've given you here and disperse it the way Jesus did. He went off, he was with the Father, he heard what the Father said, he saw what the Father was doing, he came out, and what did he do? He dispersed it, he gave it out, and then went back. We're called to the exact same thing Jesus did in Christ. We are to live in Christ Jesus. That's where all the success and the power and the glory and all of it is. It's not living here on earth and accomplishing all these getting all these doctorates and degrees and all. It's wonderful if God calls you to that. But our greatest thing that we have to do is up here. This is a life journey for us. This highway of holiness is not something we just step onto and it's a conveyor belt that's going to move us forward. It is the highway of holiness is in for the natural man a harder place than the wilderness. In the wilderness, I can go crawl under a rock and just pretend all this sun that's hitting my back is not there. But on the highway of holiness, I have a perception. The sun does not exist. The sun is there to bow down to the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's a whole different mindset. It's a place of great victory and celebration. The cross is the beginning point for us. In Romans 6:3, it says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Have you thought of that? I have been baptized means submerged. I've gotten drowned in. I've gotten pushed down where there is no air. I cannot breathe. Now I'm breathing the breath of whatever I've been baptized into. I was baptized into Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. and I was baptized into his death, meaning I have come to the Father through Jesus Christ because of what he did, because he passed the test, I'm in him. I'm on the ladder. At whatever rung I'm on it. And to say, this one has more than I have, nonsense. We are all on the same ladder. We're all going to the same place. And it's our choice as to which rung we're on. It's our choice as to saying, Father, I'm not okay with right here. I'm not okay with being right here. It's better than I was. It's wonderful. And you know, we make jingles about us. Oh, I'm better than I was, but I'm not as great as I'm going to be. No, the heart pressure within us, our yearning is to say, Father, I got to have more. 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 Well, let me see through your eyes. I don't want to see what you see. I want to see through your eyes. I don't want to feel what you feel. I want you to feel through me. I want to experience the whole thing of what you are, because you are in me and I am in you and you are in the Father. Therefore, you're my connection to Father in every single area. There is nothing else except Jesus Christ. If I press into him and I pull him to press into me, because that's all that matters, then I will hear the Father. Many of us talk about the still small voice. And I've heard people say, well, if there's a still small voice, how come the Bible says his voice is like many waters and it's loud and all of that? Down here, the lower you are down here, you're going to hear it as a still small voice. But when you get up to the top, you will hear the bellowing sound of this, like an earthquake or an avalanche. It's powerful up there. That's why angels fall down before him crying, holy. Holy doesn't mean I didn't do anything wrong. Holy means there is an awe and a revelation there's something that is nowhere else. It's as if there was one little light in a room of total darkness. You say, oh, glory. There's glory. It's what you're drawn to. It's the beauty of God. It's all up there. So yes, he has both. Listen to the still small voice. And say, get me to where your voice is louder. Get me up. And he'll say, come up higher. The choice is yours. And you press into his heart and you call him into yours, saying, I and you and me, God. Everything, Lord God. I want to be dead to sin, alive to God. I want to be dead to sin, not doing wrong or right. I want to be dead to missing the mark. I don't want to go after other things along the way. You're my mark. That's my mark. The glory, the presence, his voice, his who he is, his living experientially through us and in us and around us. You're my mark, Lord, and I don't want to miss it. So many of us, including me, we miss that one all the time. As soon as we, you know, like Pastor Brian's always joking with me, because like I always kid and I say, oh, I better tell you what I'm thinking right now because it'll go. It'll just boom, boom, in and out. And so he says, squirrel, because we could be talking about one thing. And I said, wait, this thought came. I got to tell you this right now. Squirrel, how many squirrels along our road are constantly taking our attention? Can you imagine a little rodent like a squirrel taking our attention from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Yet it happens every single day at all times. That is the wilderness and the desert. Don't get hung up on what you see or feel down here about, am I sick? Am I healthy? Am I prosperous? Do I have a job? Do I not have a job? Are my kids okay or not okay? What's going on down here? The enemy will use the things that are closest to you as squirrels. Do not recognize the squirrel. Recognize him. Say, and you think, well, how can that be? I've just been given 5 days to live, and then I'm going to, you know, croak or whatever. You say, okay, how that's a squirrel. And you'd say, how could that be a squirrel? Anything that takes your attention from getting into his presence experientially is a squirrel. Don't be duped by it. No matter how serious it seems to the natural man, how much more did the stuff Jesus, the stuff he was facing to ours? He took on the sins of the world from the beginning of time to the end of time. It all came on him. Talk about darkness. Think about when you are, have you ever been like it seems like every demon in hell has found your address and they're all coming from all different directions? That's nothing compared to what came at him. Yet he had no squirrels. He did not sin. He did not miss the mark. He says, I only do what he says. Why? Because I only see what he sees. I only hear what he hears. Nothing else. Nothing else. And you say, well, gosh, that's so cold. Really? He is love. He says, for you, I will not put my eyes on you. For you, for great love, will I not set my eyes on things here, on temporal things, but will keep them up there because I love. That's his whole destiny. His temporal destiny was to love. His spiritual destiny, get back up to the Father and be in the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, ruling and reigning, where our destiny is, to rule and reign with him. When we die? Sure, but right now as well. Two realms going on at the exact same time. Two totally different realms. Which one will we listen to? Which one will we say is more real than the other? One is real, one is truth. There is only one way, highway of holiness. There is only one truth, Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one. Anything apart from that is fleeing away. It'll be here today, gone tomorrow. Everything, think of everything you have ever faced in the past. Is it still there? No, it's gone. You've got something new now on your plate. Tomorrow you'll have another new thing on your plate. Kids grow up. People get old. I mean, there's everything happens. And did it all happen the way we planned or we thought? Of course not. Never does. But there's one thing. One thing. This never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are on a highway, all right. But where are we on that highway is up to us. Because his love, his heart is saying, come up higher. Come be with me. Don't be silly. Don't be silly. Don't be foolish. Don't be afraid. Be strong and of good courage. And you say, I can't. You can't in the natural. We can do nothing of ourselves. But the more we yield to him, the more we say, it's you, God. Get me up higher. Put my foot on the next rung. This was good revelation you gave me here on the fifth rung. But I want to go up higher because I know there's more. There's much, much more. Remember, on earth as it is in heaven, to have dominion on earth right now, to have literal dominion, to say the King of glory lives within me. He has called me to be a king and a priest. I am a king here on earth. And it not in the natural, of course. That's not where Jesus' kingdom was, and it's not where ours is. But we are called to be royalty in the kingdom of God right now. Not just when we die. And my whole thing is, Jesus gave us power and wisdom. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with power and wisdom? He has given it not so that we could be smart. He doesn't care about smart. Pastor's one of the I love it because Pastor says words a lot that are, he makes up words. But we all know it. But he doesn't know at the time. And somebody who was just visiting would say, whoa, what's up with that? Somebody who knows him would say, there's a man of God. Did you get what he said? Did you get the revelation? And they got so hung up on that he said a word that doesn't exist that they missed the revelation. Right? Remember, in John 3, talks about, you know, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee and a ruler and all that, and He says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. First rung on the ladder, be born again. That's why it's so urgent. That's why you hear Larry, and he's constantly saying, we got to win souls, we got to win souls, we got to win souls. And everybody says, oh, yeah, because he's an evangelist. We're all evangelists, all of us. We got to win souls. Why? Because they can't get up there unless they come through Jesus. And if nobody tells them, they won't hear it. So the first birth in the natural is water, right? We're born people. We're born people to our mothers, our natural mothers. The second one is supernatural. It's been born into the eternal with access to the road of holiness. The holiness. God is holy. The angels tell him that all the time. Holy, holy, holy. Over and over and over. So we know that's one of his attributes. He's holy. So what if we don't get it? If we don't say, I'm holy too. I am completely holy. Because holy lives in me. I am love because God is love and he lives in me. I have passed one birth and two births. I am fully alive in both realms. Now I got to get up and be the Son of God I was created to be. It says, now watch in verse 12 of John 3. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, where? In the wilderness. He lifted up the serpent, or the staff. It was a serpent, remember, when he threw it down? Now it's a staff. He lifted it up. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what?
Everlasting,
eternal life. We have access to something that we talk about, but unless we get on this highway and start saying, it's not a people mover, although I would love people movers because you don't have to do anything but sit there and, okay, let's go, take me wherever you want me to go. But yet the whole time I'm looking around at who's walking. And you ever do that in an airport? You look around to it and you say, dummy, you don't have to walk. Look, you can just stand here. And you call everybody as you're passing by, dummy, you didn't know there was a people mover. Yet they're the ones getting the exercise. Right? And you're the one whose muscles are deteriorating. So who's the dummy? The one who walks up the road to where you're supposed to be, or the one who just wants to be, just zoom, beam me up. Just beam me up. No, God says, come on. I have given you every spiritual gift to get up into the heavenly realm and rule and reign here on earth, to have dominion. Come on, Adam. Come on. I have given you a garden. Tend your garden. Do not let the serpent in of doubt or unbelief or fear or squirrels. Do not let him in. I have given you a place in Christ Jesus to sit with me in heavenly places, to rule and reign forever. At the end of time, you will rule and reign here. Right now, I want you to come up there. At the end of time, I'll come down here. But you'll be with me from a different perspective. If you want a higher place, if you want to be recognized, if you want fame, if you want glory, if you want all of those things, then give all those things up and start declaring those over Jesus Christ because he's in you. And then start seeing yourself robed in righteousness, wearing the armor of God, which is Jesus Christ. It's not armor like silver. It is Jesus Christ, every part of it. Wear him. Only in Christ can I have dominion. Only in Christ. Could we get the worship team back up, please? I don't even know if you guys are in here. But anyway, if they come, they come. And if they don't, that's okay, because we're not going to go squirrel, right? Squirrely. So temporal awareness means we're not perceiving from our new place to do truth. Have you ever thought of that? If I just do something, if I just pray, If I just push a little harder in prayer, if I just read a few more scriptures, if I just memorize them so I can impress everybody. It's not about do. Once we get into the do, we're down here. We've just lost a few rungs and we've fallen our behinds and we're down here again with somebody else who just got saved. And God is saying, I have to see it from the light of eternal perception. It's not what you do on the outside. It's hearing the voice of God and doing what he says. It's the still small voice. For Jesus, our salvation on the cross was his temporal destiny. For us, it's our beginning place, but not our destination, just as it wasn't his destination. Now, let's keep going. Let's go up the highway of holiness that the Holy One could come forth from us. We are the fountain that God wants to release himself through. We are the fountain in our bellies. It's rivers of living water that the world is waiting for, that pleases the Father, that makes him laugh. You know, someone told me once, you make God laugh. And I thought, oh, that's good. Somebody finally gets my sense of humor. Pastor doesn't get my sense of humor, I can tell. Sometimes I'll say a joke and he's looking at me like, what? You know, so I know. But I thought, oh, God gets my sense of humor. I love it. Yeah, because he's all nationality, so he would get an East LA sense of humor. So I love it. But he says, no, you make me laugh because there are times when you have my sense of humor and it comes through you. I said, oh, I get it. Our identity gets lost in Christ. Our human, our natural man gets lost in the eternal realm of glory. So we're going to sing another song. And just think about that. You know, just think about it. From where am I singing this song? Can I see the words? Am I entering into them? Is he singing? See, they're right now, they're being charged with get the song of the Lord that the Lord is singing right now. And sing it. We are being charged. Sing. Let the Lord sing his song and release his voice through our singing. Let the communion of the two voices, the two sounds, come together. So there's only one sound. And it's not ours that blends with his. It's ours that gets lost in his because it's initiated by him and sustained by him and finished by him and released by him. So let's just sing as the Lord releases his song through us.